Lord. Hymn number 79, the page 207. And we'll worship God. We'll stand to sing the four verses off the hymn together. We'll have the ladies, they'll sing the first, and the children, the first two lines of the chorus, and then us men will destroy it and spoil it all, and we'll sing along with them in that third line. Let's sing, rise to sing number 79, O Come All Ye Faithful. Going to pray and ask the Lord to help us now as we seek Him in prayer. Want the Lord to be here, and let's now seek the Lord for that purpose. And so let's bow our heads, our hearts before Him, and let's come into His presence. Loving Father and gracious God, through the lovely, precious, and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we by faith enter in to the throne room of heavenly grace. We rejoice in our Savior. We thank Thee for His coming into this world, this time of the year that reminds us of the Christ and His willingness to leave aside the very worship of heaven and to be despised and to be rejected of men, to live in a poor state on our behalf. As Paul will write, and as Paul did write, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. We think of the great step that Christ took, the eternal Son of God, he who was the Ancient of Days, now comes to live in human flesh. God becomes man, and yet never ceases to be God. Great is the mystery of it all. And yet we thank thee for the revelation of this in Holy Scripture. We come to understand this through the Word of God, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We thank thee that Christ by Christ came, grace and truth. The law came by Moses, the law that condemns every man, the law that reminds us all that we're sinners, we're all transgressors of it. We recognize, O God, our sinfulness when we come to stand before the holy and righteous law of God. The reminder that we are to have no other gods before us. That we are to remember the Sabbath day. That we are to not bear false witness. And we're not to covet and every other law that is contained within. Oh, how true the words of Paul are, that all the world is guilty before God. Preacher and congregation included. We're all sinners, all born of Adam's fallen and cursed race. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's what the Scripture tell us. And that's what even practice and what we see around us. We come to understand that we're born sinners. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by practice. And yet we thank thee that thou didst send a Savior for sinners in the person of thy dear Son. Thank thee for the willingness of the second person, the Holy Trinity, to take humanity, a sinless humanity to himself, to live for us and to die and to rise again. And he's in the glory and he's coming back again. And Lord, we pray that men and women will get right with God. Lord, they'll stop their fooling about with spiritual things. And Lord, their procrastination with regard to salvation. But we pray that they'll enter in, O God, to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ through faith alone in Christ, through the redeeming work of the Savior and that finished work on Calvary's cross. We realize that the manger was only but the start of the Savior's earthly journey. Oh, how many a sinner wants to keep the baby in the manger. Oh, they don't want to see him as the Christ and the Redeemer on the cross, and they certainly do not want to see him as the King on the throne, and they don't want to acknowledge him as the Judge of all men. And yet, Lord, the baby would become a man, and he would die for men, and he would be and taken to heaven and ascended to glory. And thank God he's coming again to take all who are redeemed, all who are saved, all who are reconciled to God, all who are born again, to take them on to himself and yet to cast away into outer darkness those who have no saving interest in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak tonight. We thank thee for all who have gathered. We look around and see so many friends, so many family members. We thank thee for everyone who will take part, help each one, from the children, the young people, the open air team. May thy hand be upon the entirety of this service. We commit it now to thee and to thy grace, for we offer prayer in and through the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. We come to know that the Savior was born through the reading of Holy Scripture. And so we're going to have some scriptures, just a number of them tonight. And the first is from Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 1. We're going to ask Andrea, the good wife, she's going to come, Mrs. Stewart, and she's going to come to read from Matthew 1, verses 18 through to 25.
Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
No sweeter name than the name of Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you know him as your Savior? For that's what his name means, Savior, Jehovah saves. I trust that you know him as your own and as your personal Savior. Now we're having some items of praise tonight, and the first item will be from our children, from the youngest three classes of our Sunday school. And they're going to come and they're going to sing their two pieces at this time. Christmas is a time of joy and also away in a manger. Now smile as they sing. Okay, they're nervous, I'm sure. And children, you do your best, and that's all we want from you tonight. Christmas is a time of joy and away in a manger.
Christmas is a time of joy, now he lives.
Well, that was excellent. And by looking at the faces, it was very good. And I don't know what the secret is, but boys and girls, you can tell me. Because whenever you're singing, everyone smiles. Whenever I preach, everyone frowns with regard to that. You did very well. Thank you. And can I thank the parents who have put the children through all of the words? We really appreciate that. And also sending them out week after week to our Sunday school. We're so glad to have them. We just love seeing them come in through the doors. And we miss them whenever they're not here. And so we're so glad to have them. And to all our Sunday school teachers, we appreciate your help. We're going to have another reading, this time from Brother Mr. Brown, Brother Mr. William Brown. He's going to read from Luke chapter 2. Please take your Bible, if you have one, the Word of God, and he'll read once again. And then after that, the open air team will be coming to sing in the gospel.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she wrapped forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn.
Savior came to Bethlehem, and the open air team, they're going to come now, and we're going to sing together, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger, to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me.
For me, gently.
my Savior shall come from on high. Sweet is the promise as weary years fly. Oh, I shall see him descend from the sky, coming for me.
Do appreciate the outreach team singing. I wonder, is he coming for you? Are you ready? Have you made spiritual preparation for his coming? The signs of the time are pointing to the Savior's soon return. I trust that you're ready to meet him in the air, if already God hasn't taken us in death. I trust you're ready to meet the Savior. Can I thank the outreach team who go down on a bi-weekly basis to stand there for a witness for Jesus Christ. We do appreciate all that you do and those who went even this afternoon. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing hymn 77, the carol 77 on the page 206, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Hymn 77, we'll stand and we'll sing the four verses off the hymn together. And let's worship God and let's use our voices to be employed in the worship of our God. Number 77. Again, we're going to turn to the Word of God, this time once again to Luke chapter 2, and our brother Mr. Alan Murphy is going to take the reading up from the verse number 8.
Luke chapter 2, commencing to read at the verse 8, let us hear the word of the Lord. And they were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and let this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen.
We thank Mr. Murphy for reading the scriptures. Our last item of praise is from our youth fellowship, and that we're going to sing together, O Thou that Camest from Above. So all young people, we'll be glad to see you here at the front. O Thou that Camest from Above, Charles Wesley's hymn.
The word of God says in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than me I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Still let me guard the whole.
that is our prayer for young people, that first of all, they will know the Lord savingly, and then that God will fill them with his Spirit and light in them a sacred flame, a flame that nothing can ever put out. And may we burn for God even in these days. May God bless our young people. We're so glad of them, and we trust that God's hand will be upon them. And every young person who assembles with us in the house of God, we're so glad of your fellowship in the gospel. Can I thank all those at this time who have taken part in our carol service? We want to thank our sisters, Miss Laverty and also Miss McLeister, for helping play the organ tonight. And then also our brother, Danny, who has played the guitar. He does that on the bi-weekly basis at the open air, and we thank one and all. The Saviour's name, the boys and girls, the outreach team, all readers, and also our youth fellowship. And then we warmly welcome you. Thank you for coming out tonight to the house of God. Lovely to have you as our guests, and we trust that the Lord will bless as we'll continue through this service, and may God use it even to speak to your heart. There is tea provided for all after the service, so do not be going away. Want to try and get the children out first with regard to that. So if you have got a child and they've been singing, you can meet them just at the door there, and you can get your tea along with them. And so if there's parents with smaller children, want you to do that first, and then could we maybe try and move from the front backwards? There you go. All the people in the front, you came on the right night to sit on the front. So all the people from the front will file out, and then I'll give you an opportunity just to sit down again. We're trying to work this as best we possibly can. You'll make your way in through that door and then come through the front door, and you'll get your tea and your refreshments throughout those little rooms and then at the front. So thank you to one and all who have provided the food, and those who will help serve out the food in a few moments' time. But let me make some announcements just for our own congregation. On Tuesday night, we're out in the town. We're delivering our calendars, scripture calendars. We have 1,000 of them to deliver in this town, and then, God willing, in a few other towns in Clady, and maybe over in Innisfrush there if we have enough. And so we want as many as possible to come out on that outreach evening. 7 o'clock, life is busy, but we encourage you to make that effort. We would be glad of your help and assistance. Wednesday night, our Bible study and prayer time, it's a deputation meeting. Mr. Chris Killen will be along. Our brother Chris deals with addicts, those who are addicted to drugs, to drink, and other addictive practices. You'd like to come. Maybe you're not a member here, not a friend of the congregation. You would like to hear it. Maybe there's someone in your family who have those very issues. Well, Chris will be here on that occasion. You can speak to him after the meeting. And let's come prepared to give to God's servant. Can I thank those who did give last month to our missionary, Mr. Noel Shields, one of our home missionaries? That amount came to £1,450. And we thank you sincerely in the Saviour's name for your sacrificial giving. The children's meeting has concluded for 2023. We start up again on the 5th of January. But at 7:30, the young people will be going to the manse, 10 Sperrin Heights, there, God willing, this Friday night for a night of fellowship with us at the manse. So 7:30, and that will finish around about 10:30. We'll be glad to have the young people along. It's been quite some number of years, and we're looking forward to have them, God willing, this Friday night. Next Lord's Day is Christmas Eve, and our services are at the normal times, 12 noon, and at 6:30, Sunday school, at 10:45, and Bible class. And I will, God willing, be preaching at both services next Lord's Day in the will of God. And our singer at the evening service will be our brother, Mr. Adam McAdoo. I've asked Adam to sing in the gospel. On the way out, you'll find a basket. There's cards there. There are a number there. If you come to the congregation, or if you want one, and there are one, do avail yourself of one of those little Christmas cards. They're from us as a family, if you haven't already done so. Do keep in prayer those at this time of the year. It is difficult for those, especially as they come up to maybe a first Christmas without a loved one in the home. And we want to pray for them. We are a family, and our hearts go out to such people. I want you to pray for them, make contact with such individuals, and others who are lonely, sad, others who are sick, others your age cannot come to God's house any longer. I trust that you'll make all effort to reach out and love even to such people. If I can help in any way, then just make application, just make contact with me in coming days with respect to that. And then I just want to just acknowledge the kindness shown to us as a family. We'll maybe say more next Lord's Day with regard to the anniversary of us coming to the congregation here 10 years ago. We spent a decade in the pulpit, and we're so glad to be the minister, the pastor of the congregation, and we thank God for you, and we know that you're praying for us, and may God help us to be diligent in praying even for you. But thanks to the session, the church committee, and also to the congregation here for their kindness towards us even this afternoon. That's all that I have by way of announcements. Let's turn to the hymn number 83. The hymn number 83. As with gladness, men of old. As with gladness, men of old. The hymn number 83. And we'll stand and we'll sing a number of the verses. We'll not maybe sing it all for sake of time. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Verses 1, 3, and 5 of hymn number 83. It is to Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 2, that I turn your attention to for these moments. Matthew chapter 2, I want to read from the opening verse of the chapter. I want you to listen to the reading of the Word and then just give a little time to the preaching of the Gospel. I trust that you're ready to hear that. And so Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou the least among the princes of Judea? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and though the star which they had saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country, and their own country, another way. Amen. We'll conclude at verse 12. Let's just briefly pray, seek the Lord together. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the worship that has been rendered to our God. And Lord, we pray that it might have been found to be acceptable in thy sight. We thank thee for all who have taken part. And now, Lord, as we come to hear thy word, we pray that there might be a good hearing of it. We pray for the help of God, the Spirit of God, in the preaching of the word. Guide, Lord, this preacher and fill him now with thy Spirit. For we offer prayer in and through the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. It would be true to say that not everyone responds to the same news in the exact same way. For example, the crowning of a football team as the Premier League champions might well bring delight to the supporters of that football team. But the same, and at the same time, that news might bring great dismay to the fans of a rival football team. Or maybe the promotion of some individual in a business may go down well among management, but it may not just go as well down and be well received by those who work on the shop floor. The birth of a newborn son or a newborn daughter into a family might bring great joy to the parents, but as for the siblings that are already in the home, they might not just be so keen to have another little one in the family taking up all of mum and dad's attention. The same news can be received in different and varying ways. When it came to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not everyone responded to that news in the same way. When they heard the news that a Savior had been born in the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem, there were differing responses, a variation of responses. And it is those differing responses that I want us to consider just for a few moments as we close out this meeting. And as we do so, I want to encourage you to ask yourself a question. Which response best sums up my response when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ and his claims of me in the gospel? Because God has claims of you in the gospel. He commands all men everywhere to repent. That is his claim upon you. And so I want you to ask yourself, which response best sums up, mirrors my response when I am confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ? From the details here in Matthew chapter 2, I want you to notice in the first place, Herod's response to the news that Christ had been born. For Herod, he worried when he heard the news that the Savior had been born. The arrival of some wise men from a distant eastern land with the message that they had come to worship the newborn King of the Jews caused Herod the Great to be troubled, according to Matthew in his gospel. The verse number 3, we're told that Herod, when he had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The wise men had come to ask the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to worship him. That news caused Herod trouble. He started to worry about it. He was concerned about the news of a newborn king in Israel. The word troubled here in this particular verse is a little word, terasso. And it really means to be in turmoil or to be in great distress. Here's a man, having heard the news, most likely probably didn't sleep for at least 2 years. We know that because of what he does later on with regard to exterminating all of the infants under the age of 2 years. He wants to make sure that Christ is dead. But here's a man, having heard the news of the Savior, having heard the news that Christ had been born, was a man who was now in much distress, in great turmoil of mind and of heart. Why such turmoil on the part of Herod? Well, the simple answer is that the news of a newborn king in Israel really threatened Herod's own position in the land. In 40 BC, the Roman Senate had named Herod the great king of the Jews. That's the title that they had given to Herod. But now here's wise men coming from an eastern land, and they're saying that there's now another king. There's another king of the Jews. Another one who's taken that title to himself. Now, the Jews hated Herod having that title, the king of the Jews, for two reasons. First of all, Herod was no Jew. He wasn't a Jew, but rather he was a Gentile. Second of all, he wasn't even a Jew by religion. Herod was, I would most likely say, an atheist. Maybe like you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're one who doesn't even believe in God. Well, here's Herod, and he's a picture, I would suggest, of you tonight. But now here are wise men from the east, and they're calling another the king of the Jews. If such a person had been born and was now among the people, you can imagine that Herod becomes one who is in fear of this one. He fears that the nation will rise up against him, dethrone him, and then set this new king on the throne of Israel. From the moment he heard the news, Herod became paranoid. His peace was disturbed at the news of the presence of a potential rival to the throne of his jurisdiction. How many a person becomes troubled, like Herod, at the presence, not of an earthly king, but of the King of Kings, who demands the throne. Not the throne of a nation, but the throne of their heart. Such people, they despise the thought that the king of self must be dethroned and that the Savior, the King of Glory, must be enthroned if they are ever to reach heaven. I wonder, am I describing you tonight? Do you hate the thought that before Christ is ever enthroned as king of your life, that sin and self must be dethroned? Are you one who wants to hold on to sin with one hand and on to Christ with the other hand? Well, sinner, let me say, it doesn't work that way. It's all of Christ or nothing. He will have, now listen to me, he will have no rival. The heart's throne has only room for one king to reign upon. When it comes to the gospel, there is no such thing as joint authority. When it comes to the gospel, Christ must reign supremely in the life. Maybe you recoil. Maybe you balk at the thought that there needs to be a turning away from your life of sin. If you're ever to know the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, maybe that concerns you. Maybe that worries you that sin must be forsaken. Because I say, sinner, sin must be forsaken. Be in no doubt about that. If you're ever to know salvation, you're going to have to forsake your sin and forgo your sinning. Herod was worried. Maybe you're worried. Let's drill down into this matter just for a few moments. One-on-one, sinner. One-on-one with you. Want to speak to you. One-on-one. What is it that worries you when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you worried that there are some sins in your life that can never be forgiven? Maybe that's your worry tonight. You're here tonight. You know your lifestyle. You know what you've done in your past. That past that continually comes, as it were, out of the cupboard now and again, and you're concerned about that, and your life of sin, you think, the things that I have done, preacher, can never be forgiven. Well, can I say that if that is your worry tonight, let me encourage you to listen to the words And the promise from the lips of Jesus Christ whenever he said in Matthew 12, verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, so God's speaking to you through his Son, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. Not a sin that you have committed that cannot be forgiven. Not a sin that cannot be cleansed. Not a sin that cannot be dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So this may be your worry tonight. There's sins that I've committed that could never be forgiven. Maybe your worry tonight is that there is some addictive habit that has become so ingrained, so entrenched into your life that you'll just never be able to break free from it. Well, if that's your trouble, if that's what's troubling you this evening, then listen to this promise that Christ gives to you once again, this time in John 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ can deal with your drink, and Christ can deal with your cigarettes, and Christ can deal with your drug taking, and Christ can deal with your immorality. Christ is able to set you free. Are you worried tonight that you wouldn't be able to keep God's salvation? Maybe that's your worry. You say, preacher, I would love to become a Christian. I've wanted to become a Christian for years. I've wanted to know Christ as my Savior. But yet, preacher, I'll not be able to keep God's salvation. And right you are. I assure you that the God who'll save you tonight is a God who'll keep you tonight. In his great doxology there in the little book of Jude, he comes to say these words, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to keep you from falling. He'll keep you. He'll keep you. Maybe you're worried about what the family and what the friends, what the work colleagues would say. As genuine a worry that might be, can I say that a greater worry you should have is what God will say about you on the day that you stand before him at the judgment seat. Because if in that day you're still found in your sin, the judge of all the earth will make this pronouncement concerning you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't worry about what your mates will say tomorrow. Don't worry about what the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the husband, the wife will say. Don't worry about what your schoolmates will say. Get right with God. Be reconciled to God. Be at peace with God tonight through believing in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're worried that you'll lose all your friends if you became a Christian. Well, let me say to you that you might lose some of your friends. I need to be frank, I need to be honest with you. You might lose some of your friends, but can I say that in its place, God will give you a family. God's family. God's family. And then you'll know the friend in Christ that sticketh closer than any brother. And can I tell you from personal experience, there's no friend like him. There's no friend like him. Maybe the thing that's troubling you tonight is the thought, well, maybe everybody thinks I'm a Christian. Everybody in the church believes that I'm a Christian. And yet deep down in your heart, you know that you've never come to Christ. You have no saving interest in Jesus Christ. You have no desires after Christ, no longings after him, after his word, after prayer, after being, after the things of God. You say, preacher, I'm concerned that if I spoke to you, what would people say in the church? I say, don't worry about what people say in the church. Think about what God knows about you. God knows about you. Be convinced of your need of Christ. And if so tonight, then come to the Savior. He will, He will receive you. He has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so here's a man, and he's worried. He's concerned. He's troubled. This king, he's come onto the scene. And he's going to remove me. Self is going to be removed. Well, Herod's initial response of worry starts to fester, starts to develop, starts to snowball, until Herod puts into place plans whereby he will annihilate every infant under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and the surrounding districts. In doing so, Herod hopes that he will destroy the Christ. You see, for Herod, worry gave way to wrath. It just started out with worry, but it now gives way to wrath. You know, there are men and women in this world tonight who once sat in meetings like this meeting. People who once found themselves troubled about eternal things and concerned about their soul. However, something happened, they hardened their heart. They hardened their heart against God and against the things of God. And so much so that having hardened their heart and having refused to yield to Christ and the gospel, they've become resentful. They've even become hostile to the things of God. And maybe you're such a person, brought up in the gospel, mother and father catechizing you in the things of God. And you've gone your own way and you've hardened your heart. And you're breaking your mother and father's heart because of your rebellion against God. And now, where once there was trouble and concern about your soul, now you hate the things of God. You despise the things. You're hostile to the things of God. Maybe it's been a long, long time since you've attended a church like this or any other gospel preaching church. May God be pleased to melt your heart. May you not degenerate into a stage that there's wrath, anger, hatred in your heart for the things of God. May God soften and melt your heart and your soul tonight and take that callous and indifferent heart and melt it in such a way that you're drawing savingly on to Jesus Christ. Herod worried at the news that Christ was born. Quickly, the shepherds, how did they respond? Well, the shepherds, they welcomed the news that the Savior had been born. It is Luke who gives us the account of the shepherds' response to the Savior's birth, news that would come to them via an angelic messenger. On hearing the news that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem, Luke will inform us that the angels, when they were gone away into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The initial terror felt by the shepherds on that particular night was replaced with an eagerness to get to Bethlehem in order that they might verify the birth of the Savior. And so we are told in Luke 2 verse 16, "And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Would to God, sinner, that you would make haste. Would to God that you would say, "Let us go now. Let's go now to Christ. Let's go now to the cross for cleansing. Let's go tonight, tonight. Let's go tonight on the 17th of December, 2023. Let's go tonight and get this matter of my salvation settled once and for all. Let's go now." Is there someone like that just now? And you would say, "Yes, I want to come to Christ." Bow your head and your heart, seek Him. Ask Him to save you, and thank God He will. Would to God that you would show a similar eagerness to get to Christ, my unconverted friend. They came with haste. Yes, you. I'm speaking to you now. You who have dragged your feet for so long. You who have considered getting right with God for some time now. You who have been troubled for many a day with regard to your soul's salvation. That you, I'm speaking to you. That you would make haste and get to Christ as these shepherds did to find the Savior. When they found Him, faith gave way to sight. We're told that the shepherds left when they left only, for them, when they left only, we're told that when they left, they came to make known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Undoubtedly, these shepherds welcomed the news. Of course, what do you do whenever you hear good news? Well, you like to tell it. You like to tell it. Christ is born. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. They hear it all, it thrills their soul. What a welcome news it was. Even the pagans of the first century world, they sensed the need for peace and a savior. Let me quote a first century pagan writer. This isn't a Christian writer now, this is a pagan writer. His name is Epictetus. And this is what he wrote. While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot, speaking of the emperor, give peace of heart, for which man yearns for more than even outward peace. A pagan. That was his observation. I believe these shepherds knew something of their sinful condition, and therefore the news that the Savior, a Savior, had been born was most certainly welcomed by them. He did not come as a judge. Think of it. The world deserved a judge to be sent. But God sent a Savior, one who would save from sin, one who would rescue and deliver and emancipate from sin. I ask you tonight, do you know anything about your sinful condition? That you've broken God's righteous and holy law? Are you acquainted with the truth of God's word that you're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by practice? You may say, preacher, but my minister doesn't tell me that. But the Bible tells you that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says, God's word. Now, either you've got a problem with that or you're going to submit to that truth that all have sinned, that I'm a sinner. And I understand it, preacher. And I've been understanding it for quite some time. And God has been troubling me about spiritual things. I tell you, until you understand that you're a sinner, the news that a Savior has been born, it'll mean nothing to you. Sure, what would it be? What of it? A Savior born? What do I need a Savior for? You see, you need to understand you're a sinner and you need salvation. And then this news is welcomed by all who hear it. Well, if there's someone here tonight and maybe God has been dealing with your heart, may the news that there has been one sent who can save, who can deliver, who can rescue from sin. But why not only hear it, why not receive it? Why not receive it? Why not come to the Savior tonight? As we think about these varied responses, I have just one other response to think about, and that's the wise men's response. Herod, he worried, and that worry had given way to wrath. We think of the shepherds, they welcomed the news. What were the wise men's response? Well, they worshipped. They worshipped when they heard that the Savior had been born. You know, I was interested, never had seen it before, and I was reading through Matthew chapter number 2, that before the wise men ever met the Christ child, they were already prepared to worship him. Before they ever met him, they had never met him before, and yet they were already prepared to worship him, because we see that in what they said in their audience with Herod, when they asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This matter was already settled. Their purpose for leaving their home and going to Bethlehem, first to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, was simply to worship the Christ child, the Christ of God. And these men knew exactly what they were going to do when they met him. They knew that our initial response will be to worship him, to worship him. When they did eventually find the Savior, the Christ in Bethlehem, Matthew tells us in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, that when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. You see, these wise men, they were watchers, or they were worshippers of the stars. But once they came into the house where the Savior was now resident, they didn't continue to worship the star. They didn't continue to follow the star. But rather they turned their back on that which they once worshipped. And they now come to worship Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is very, very precise in its language. Because the Spirit of God does not say that they worship Mary. They didn't worship Mary. They worshipped him. They saw Mary, blessed virgin, but they did not worship her. No, they worshipped him, and him alone, just him. Worshippers of the stars become worshippers of the Savior. What a transformation. And that happens when a person becomes a Christian. They turn their back on false religion. They turn their back on their false ideas. They turn their back on all that they worshiped before. And they worship only Christ. Only Christ. True biblical worship has God as the object of worship to the exclusion of all other rivals, whether that be a human being, whether that be an angelic being, whether that be an inanimate, or whether that be an animate object. When any sinner comes to meet God in the gospel, God alone becomes the object of worship. Christians need to be reminded of that. Too often we're found worshiping other things. Having met God and Christ in salvation, the object of worship is supposed to be God alone. I wonder, is that the case with you? Is there some rival vying for your attention? Could it be that that's the reason why, as a believer, maybe you're not going as fast on as you should be? Why there's such little progress in your Christian life? Why such stagnation? Maybe the reason is that there's another rival. Needs to be put away, to be done with. Now, I know, sinner, that I'm aware, that you resent the demand from God to worship him alone. You see, sinner, you want to worship yourself. You want to worship your car. You want to worship your house. You want to worship your family. You want to worship your business. You want to worship your money. And these things we need. We need money to live. Of course we love our families. It's nice to have a lovely house to live in and a good car to drive. But you resent this thought that God alone must be worshipped by me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I ask you, is there any desire in that heart of yours tonight to be a true worshiper of God? Have you found that all that you've worshipped in your life has failed miserably to bring any lasting fulfillment, and has only led but to bitter disappointment in your life? The problem is, sinner, you're worshipping the wrong object. Romans 1 verse 25 speaks about someone like you. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That's you. You worship the creature rather than the Creator. And all you're concerned about, presents, family gatherings, nice turkey dinner, that's all you're concerned about. And your soul might be lost tonight in God's hell. Is it not about time that you thought about these things? Is it not about time that you got right with God? You see, what these wise men did physically is what you need to do spiritually. Look there at the verse 11, and with this I'm closing. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down. The words literally translate to mean this, to descend from a higher place to a lower level. Self was abased before the King of Glory. And self must be abased. The sinner must take the lower place and give Christ the exalted place in their life if they are to become a true worshiper of God. Will you do that? Will you humble yourself tonight? Will you take your place as a sinner? You know what I see in the details of this chapter, that whenever someone becomes a true worshiper of God, that worship, it comes to express itself in a tangible way. For these men of such status, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If you become a true worshiper of God, we're not expecting you next Lord's Day to bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But surely there will be a tangible way in which you come to express your newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Could I suggest to you that you'll want to meet with the saints of God on a regular basis? That'll be a tangible way. You'll want to identify with them publicly at the Lord's table and in baptism. You'll want to identify with them by becoming a member of a local Bible preaching church. You'll give to the work of God, yes, and to the witness of God. But most importantly, now don't miss it, most importantly, it will manifest itself in a changed life, a transformed life, as one who has now become a new creature with a new heart and with a new nature. It will outwork itself as it did these men, now worshippers of Christ. It outworked itself, and it'll outwork itself in your life. Herod worried when he heard the news that the Savior was born. The shepherds, they welcomed the news. The wise men, they worshiped when they heard the news. I would suggest to you that the latter two responses are the only two responses when it comes to the message of the gospel. When it comes to the reality that Christ, who lies in the manger, will go to a cross and there have hands and feet nailed to the tree. And there he will shed his blood to make atonement for sin, to pay the price of sin, and by his death provide eternal life for all who believe on Christ alone for salvation. The manger is not the end of the journey. It's not even the beginning. It's not even the beginning. And our folks, God willing, will hear about that next Lord's Day. It's not even the beginning. But he goes eventually to the cross. And then he goes to the grave. And then he goes to the throne. And someday he's coming in the clouds to gather his loved ones home. Now, my last challenge is this. Will he gather you to himself on that day? Will you be gathered on to Christ? Only those who know Christ savingly, those who have turned and repented from their sin, will find themselves gathered into heaven. Join us. Meet us there. Come the way that every sinner must come. Come via the cross. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Make this Christmas, Christmas 2023, the Christmas that you spent, your first Christmas as a Christian. May God so be pleased to work in every heart. for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I appreciate you listening. Can I say that I'll be around the building if you want to speak about these matters? Maybe you know a Christian in your family. You would like to speak to them. Well, let me encourage you to do that. And we'll be glad to help you in any way possible. May God, by his grace, bring you to the Savior even now. Loving Father and gracious God, we now commit the preaching of thy word to thee. We cry to thee, Lord, by the Spirit, that thou wilt apply it to whatever heart thou hast purposed to which it is to be applied. Apply it to the hearts of all, from youngest to the oldest. And may by your Spirit you work in this place and bring glory to your name, saving the lost, restoring the fallen, and edifying the people of God, for we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Just to give the ladies a little bit of time, we're turning to 76. We're going to sing the verses 1 to 3. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. We'll stand and we'll worship God. We'll remain standing. We'll give thanks for prayer. And then we will have our supper together. Hymn number 76. Let's stand to sing. First. Stand for prayer. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, the new birth. I trust that you know about it, and if not tonight, that you'll be born again. Loving Father, we thank thee for this service. We pray, O God, that men and women will respond to the news that Christ is born, a Savior. They'll respond like the shepherds and like the wise men, and not like Herod and the rest of Jerusalem. O God, we pray that thou wilt so work in their heart and in their soul and bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Bless these good things that have been provided. We thank thee for the ladies and the care that they've taken in its preparation. May we eat and drink to the glory of God, and help us in our fellowshipping one with another. For we pray these our prayers in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.